Geloven kun je doen op verschillende manieren. In een week waar Ballarat in het nieuws staat en niet altijd op een prettige manier. Een stukje uit het kerkelijk archief van de Australische geschiedenis. Ik citeer even. Ruim 50% van de Nederlandse immigranten naar Australië behoort tot een kerkgenootschap. Toen ze in Australië arriveerden, ontdekten ze dat hier nauwelijks organisaties op confessionele basis bestonden. Dit met uitzondering van het onderwijs. De immigranten moesten ervoor kiezen om in een eigen godsdienst binnen de Australische structuur te beleiden of om een eigen organisatie en vereniging op te richten. Vanuit de katholieke kerk in Australië werd druk uitgeoefend op de katholieke immigrant om zich binnen de bestaande structuur in te passen. Slechts met tegenzin en onder supervisie van lokale kerkelijke autoriteiten werden Nederlandse priesters toegestaan om Nederlandse katholieke immigranten te begeleiden na aankomst. Een van de bekendste Nederlandse priesters in Australië die zich bezighield met de opvang van Nederlandse immigranten is Pater Maas. Henk Overberg schreef een boek over deze Nederlandse pater die zoveel goed werk verrichtte in Ballarat. In een week waar de katholieke kardinaal Pell in het spotlicht staat over wat hij wist over de seksuele misdaden van een van de priesters in Ballarat. En misschien ook wel eens goed te horen over een katholieke priester die duizenden mensen, duizenden Nederlanders in dit geval, in Ballarat hielp. Henk Overberg sprak met Yvonne Davis. Wie is Pater Maas eigenlijk? Het interview is in het Engels.
Father Maas is an interesting person. He was born in 1911 in Helmond, and he became a priest. He entered a missionary order in 1938, and in that year he was sent as a missionary to Indonesia, to the island of Flores, and he stayed there. During the Second World War, he was interned in a camp for a while. And when he came out of concentration camp, he was so sick and so weak that they couldn't send him back to Holland to recover, so they sent him to Australia, which was a little bit closer. And so he ended up in Melbourne under the care of Archbishop Mannix. And he stayed here for about 6 months at the end of 1945 and 1946, and he gradually regained his strength. Now, this was just the time when Australia started its large migration program, and Mannix had a look at this man and thought he would make an excellent chaplain for the Dutch migrants, which were starting to come in fairly large numbers. So although Maas went home in 1946 after he'd recovered, he stayed in Holland for a couple of years, and then he came back on one of the migrant ships. He wanted to go back to Flores and resume his missionary activities, but these migrant ships, of course, came first to Australia, and then they went to Indonesia. Now, when Maas arrived in Melbourne, he thought he'd better pay his respects to Mannix and renew old friendships. And Mannix simply said, "You're not going to Flores, you stay here." And he kept Maas here against Maas's express wishes. This was late in 1948, early 1949. And since then, until his death, he was a migrant chaplain, Catholic migrant chaplain, to the Dutch community in Melbourne.
But he was much more than that, because he also started different homes and hostels.
Maas, when he was confronted with having to stay in Melbourne, you must realise that he really started a very strange life. You see, he was taught to be a missionary, and he liked being a missionary. Now, missionary work really means bringing the faith to people of other groups in a strange country, generally in a country which is not Western, and you bring people the faith by not only preaching to them, but also by helping them with schooling, by helping them with creating hospitals, infrastructure, and so on. Now, what happens is this man who is used to that sort of thing comes to Melbourne, and there he is not dealing with the natives, if you like, but he is dealing with people of his own group, the Dutch. He is not dealing with Indonesians who are the main people of Indonesia, but he is dealing with a very small Dutch group who are a minority. And he's not really bringing the faith to anybody, but what he's doing is he is helping people keep the faith in new circumstances. And he's not virtually his own boss in the church, as he would have been in Flores, far away from anybody else, but he has to defer and pay his respects to a clergy and an archbishop and a church which is already well established. So in other words, he becomes a missionary, if you like, of a very specific kind, and it took him some time to get used to it. And he made the decision fairly soon, or he realized fairly soon, that in order to do his best work in Melbourne, that he had to really help people getting established as new citizens in this country, and then the religious considerations would take care of themselves. And I think that really underscores his community building.
Je luistert naar een gesprek van schrijver, onderzoeker Hens Overberg met Yvonne Davis over de goede werken van Pater Maas tijdens zijn jaren in Ballarat. Pater Maas richtte verschillende opvanghuizen op. Even terug naar Yvonne met Henk Overberg.
In 1950, the main people coming out from the Netherlands were young bachelors. They were vrijgezellen. And because the government here wasn't interested in getting families to migrate, because they were going to be too much of a drain on the social resources that Australia had. So they get these bachelors in, and so Maas was finding that these bachelors were lonely, were losing the faith, and so on. So what does he do? He starts a hostel for them in Kew. He buys a place in Kew with help of the church, and he invites these boys to stay there until they found their feet. Now, that hostel ran from 1951 to 1973, so for about 22 years, and about 3,000 men went through that hostel at the time, so quite a few. Now, as well as that, a couple of years later, the Australian government changed its migration policy to the effect that they were willing to accept migrant families so long as these families would have a sponsor in Australia. So Maas sort of said to the local Catholic Church, if you act as sponsor, then we can get out Dutch families from the Netherlands as immigrants here, and we can in this way sort of get lots and lots of Catholics in the community. Now, sponsorship meant at the time that you'd have to guarantee housing and you'd have to guarantee work. Now, guaranteeing work was pretty easy in those days because there was no unemployment, so you simply sent people to the local Commonwealth Employment Service. They would offer themselves, they would have work after half an hour. Offering accommodation was a little bit more difficult, but what Maas did was he somehow got hold of a large house in Daylesford, which he rented from the owner. The house was called the Gables. He rented it. He rebuilt it a little bit, and he made it suitable to receive families. Now, the first families came to the Gables in 1952, and it closed in 1958. And by that time, 278 families had gone through the Gables. Now, in those early years, 1952-53, the sponsorship scheme that he had started was so successful that the Bishop of Ballarat decided to open a second house in Creswick between Daylesford and Ballarat. And that house, although it was meant for migrants of all nationalities, in effect became a second reception centre for Dutch Catholic immigrants, and that ran from 1953 to 1963. And when I contacted the priest who was in charge of migration in the Diocese of Ballarat during the 1950s, he estimates that 30 families per year went through that particular hostel. As well as that, Mass started what he called the Father Mass Scheme, which was a scheme to get rural Dutch families to migrate and to place them on farms as share farmers or as farm managers in Victoria. A lot of these people were placed in Gippsland. And that scheme started in 1951, and it sort of petered out around 1962-63. Now, through this scheme, some 300 families were placed in Gippsland and in the Western District. And at one stage, he writes in a letter that these 300 families had an average of about 6 kids. Now, if you add all these people together that he sponsored to come out, you come to about 8,200 people. Now, in 1961, there were 36,000 Dutch-born people in Victoria. So you can see that by 1961, one in every four Dutch people in Victoria had gone through Mass's hands. So he did a tremendous amount of settlement activity, if you like.
En gelukkig waren deze handen goede handen. Dat was Henk Overberg en hij sprak met Yvonne Davis. Ik denk dat er nog veel mensen zullen zijn die zich vader Pater Maas wel herinneren. Heb jij een verhaal over vader Maas? Bel me dan even op 02 9430 2733.